Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic per week for an average of 33.2 minutes. And one, and two, and three, and...
Hey, Caleb.
Daniel.
Caleb, sir.
Daniel,
how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am well. We just received a wonderful website.
Yes.
Called 20%.
Oh, that was so great.
T-I.me.
Yep.
20% time with a .me. It's in the show notes. You can check it out. You got a computer. And it's just a graph of the length of all of our episodes. And it's amazing. One of them was under 20, and it was the first one.
Totally. That was great.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Oh, man. Well done, Jake Bathman. Well done.
Jake the Bathman. The man of many baths. do you... we haven't done like This Week in PRs in a long time. Anything that you know of?
So I no longer am a part of the Laravel community.
Right. You're...
I just...
you're doing Go now.
Yep. I'm not, but... I don't know if we talked about that in the podcast, but yeah, a bunch of people that I worked with on this client I'm on, they're like, yeah, we're just going to switch to Go. And I don't even think they knew Go. Some of them did. I don't know. But yeah, so that's the joke. That
that's not true. Not, it's a lie.
It's a lie.
But yeah, you're a very busy man, and you don't keep up with the PRs anymore.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's, I feel like
Time was you were like big on the PRs.
I was heavy into those PRs, and now I'm not, and I have no good explanation. I'm more into like high level stuff these days. I haven't even written that much like actual code in a while. Like I write code,
fair,
but it's more like high level stuff, and it's in microservices. So it's like I haven't even touched Eloquent. I don't even remember the last time I touched Eloquent. That's crazy. That's not okay.
Eloquent is really nice.
Eloquent is everything. I always say that. Eloquent is a lot of what I love about Laravel.
Dude, Eloquent is great. Eloquent is definitely the best thing about Laravel. And
straight up,
you really miss it when you aren't using it.
Straight up.
Particularly if you have data stored somewhere that's not Eloquent.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have a topic.
Speaking of data not stored in Eloquent.
I have a topic. All right, let's talk about this topic. So, say you have an app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your app depends on a bunch of data that lives on some external API.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Say you're that kind of guy, right? You got that kind of life.
Yep, that's the life.
What do you do architecturally with that data? Because like, here's what I'm doing, and here's why I'm bringing this up. I'm working on this little side project app, and it does a lot of stuff with the GitHub API. And so the best example of what I'm kind of talking about is I have a class called... I should probably just open up this code so that I can actually talk about this intelligently. All right, so I have like a GitHub repo class.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like this little GitHub API class that like talks to the GitHub API.
Yep.
And one of the things that I can do is I can take like the return from a GitHub endpoint, and pass into this method that like news up a bunch of GitHub repo classes in a collection.
Okay.
So say I get back like a big JSON document with like an array of GitHub repos.
Okay.
I can pass those GitHub repos into, so I can like map that collection and then pass each of those little GitHub repos,
yep,
into like a named constructor for GitHub repo that's like from API array.
Yep.
And then it kind of generates this little class. And then right now this class only has one method, which is track. Theoretically at some point in the future, it's going to need an untrack method as well. But it's going to need a couple more methods in the future, that all relate to like, hey, my application now needs to like do something with this repo. And what that means usually, so like the track method takes some info from that GitHub repo and then actually creates a repository object, which is a model that has a database table.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a weird thing, right? So I have this like weird DTO called GitHub repo.
Okay. Yeah.
That is basically just like formatting data from the GitHub API before I store it in the database.
Okay.
For no other reason than that it like makes a lot of my like little lines of logic a lot prettier and nicer.
Okay.
So anyway, it kind of feels like I'm being like irresponsible by introducing this thing, because it's like now I have to maintain like the format of GitHub repos in two places, and like say I want to add a field, I have to like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that feels a little bit irresponsible. But at the same time, this feels like really, really nice. And
okay.
I think
let me
part
take
of
the inventory.
The reason is, yeah, go ahead.
Quick, just so we can be on the same page. You have a class called GitHub repo that has a method called does the GitHub repo class actually call on an endpoint and then create more of itself with the JSON stored in it, or does it just seed the class with JSON?
I seed the class with JSON.
Okay, so a GitHub repo class that has some like whatever named constructor like from JSON or something, and you pass in a bunch of JSON internally, it like deconstructs that JSON into like properties or something, or okay, and then that,
and not all of them, just like the useful ones,
just the useful ones, and then that class has a track method, and that track method produces a let's say an eloquent object.
Correct.
And the track method produces the eloquent object with the right data and saves it, like it creates a new one and saves it and returns it.
It first or creates it.
First or creates it. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
That's basically all Laravel needs to be, is a bunch of first or creates.
Yeah. Interesting. I guess my gut reactions right now is like I don't like having eloquent create stuff in classes like this. You have the GitHub what is the eloquent object called, the eloquent class?
Repository.
It's called repository. And why is it not called GitHub repository?
Because theoretically down the line I could add like GitLab and Bitbucket as well.
You should call it repo for starters.
Yeah, you're right, and I just haven't refactored it. Okay. I've thought that for about 3 days now.
Okay, you should call it. Yeah, okay. So you have your repo class, and why don't you have a method on that class, like a static method, like a named constructor, that's like create from JSON or whatever, and then you pass in the JSON, and then it does that internally, where it just like creates itself. Because like, would you have that GitHub repo class? You don't have is there any place where you use that without persisting anything to a database? Like you use that just as a way to sort of look at what comes back from an API and play with it without it being actually tracked?
Yes,
you do.
I do. So there is a view where I let you choose which of your repos you want to track, right? So this is a CI app. There's a place, in Travis, right? Yeah. It shows you all of your GitHub repos, and then you get to choose which of them you want to run Travis on, right? So I have a similar page where it's like, I show you all of your repos, and then you basically choose on that page which of those repos you want to run this on.
I see.
So I'm passing all of the repos that the API gives me that are in your name down, and then each of them has like a track method, but then I'm also passing down data like the ID, and then you know that weird little like GitHub slug that's like owner name / repo name?
Yeah.
So I'm passing like that kind of data around, and it's just data stores.
Right. No, I see. Yeah. Method. Okay. So here's, I like the idea of a class that takes in JSON from a repository and exposes the data in some encapsulated way. I think that seems good to
but
me.
But you don't like the track method.
I would call it like GitHub response or GitHub repo response or something. I don't know. Or GitHub repo. Nah. I don't know. Something that sort of implies its transience or its nature of like just a data object. But I would keep the track out of that and I would make a named constructor on your Eloquent class that pulls in
repository or repo. We're gonna call it repo.
Yeah. And you could say like repo from GitHub
response or something.
From GitHub response. Yeah. And then like that pulls in that data object and then you can build up your Eloquent thing. What do you think about that?
Interesting. I think it's cool. You're the naming guy, so let's think about what we're actually going to name that method, because it can't really... Here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Calling it GitHub repo response or something mm-hmm. makes it feel to me like it is the whole JSON response that comes back.
Yeah,
right, which
right.
contains an array of a whole bunch of
right,
repos.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, right.
So what are we going to name that class, and then what are we going to name that named constructor on repo so that I can go do this
okay.
refactor?
Well, let's think first. What uh-huh. if you had a make from, like, what if there was, like, create from GitHub response or something like that, and then a make from GitHub response, and the make one, you just filled up the Eloquent object with data and didn't persist it.
Oh.
Hmm. Mm.
Is that... Can I do that?
Yeah, totally.
Can I?
Yeah, you can just new up... You know, you can new up an Eloquent class, or you can use...
No, I mean, I know I can.
Right.
No, sorry.
Right.
I don't think I'm saying the same thing you think I'm saying.
I'm not. You're not.
I'm like... A sentence ahead.
Right.
Of
you're one step...
This
yeah,
conversation.
I should have assumed.
Which is like...
I didn't mean to insult
can
you.
Can... No. It's
no,
like,
I insulted
can
you.
I then remove the GitHub repo class completely and just use a non-persisted repo as my GitHub repo?
Right.
Can I do that?
Yes. All right. So the problem would be if, okay, you're passing it around and you assume that it's in some saved state, I guess, and it's not, or... I don't know. I think you can. Why not? What if you had, like, repo?
Well, think about the whole, like, handshake, right? So say, like, just assume for now that I'm not using, like, JavaScript or anything, right? It's just, like, I kick it to the front end, and then there's, like, you know, some post... Well, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter if I'm using JavaScript or not. I'm not,
yeah.
but
right.
I will be.
Yep.
But, like, say, okay, so I have to store, like, whatever, the ID and slug, which is what I need to persist it to the database.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I need to store those on, you know, in the
as
Blade
properties.
Template, and then
yeah.
when they,
oh.
Right, and then when they kick it back up to track it, then I have to, like, take those and then reconstruct the object again and then save it. You get what I'm saying?
Okay, you're saying that, right, because they would hit save on one of those repos, like, I want to choose this repo. And
yeah.
it would
like
have to be a full request.
Cute enough.
So you would have,
right, exactly.
It's not like you could just take
I'd have to,
that object and magically run save on it, and then bam, you would have to
right,
like, rebuild
that,
it.
That object doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
right.
So it would need, right, some sort of identifier.
But it's like... It's almost like tempting to like go down the road of like figuring out if there's a way that we can like, yeah, but that's a terrible idea.
Okay, what if
like for
maybe think about what you need to expose for that specific uh-huh. use case when a user is selecting uh-huh. a GitHub repository, what data needs to be exposed?
GitHub ID, GitHub path, user ID.
Okay,
those are...
So what if you created a teeny tiny class? Just for that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's
and
what I have. It's called GitHub API, or GitHub repo, and it has a track method.
It's called GitHub repo, and it has a track method. Right, but the GitHub repo class that you have takes more than just those two fields, right? Like, you deal with
nope.
more than that. No?
Just
that's
takes
it?
Those.
okay, well, I definitely wouldn't put track on the GitHub. I think that's just my, I don't know, I don't want to start using words like responsibility, but
right, but, if, but a letter can't send itself, but, I tell you what.
But that's an impossibility. No, I just wouldn't want it there anyway.
When's the last time you watched a repo track itself? I don't think
exactly
so.
Exactly right. It's impossible.
You know what? The only thing that can track repos is users. User track repo.
Right.
Because you know, who's got agency in this situation? Who controls their own destiny? It's the user, not the repo. I apologize. But yeah, so it should be repo track GitHub repo. Or I mean, obviously we renamed that object.
All right, I got an idea. Your
or
use
you
case
think it's repo from GitHub repo save or repo from GitHub repo.
You know what you do? I'm tempted. What do I do? I'm thinking. So there's this tweet I saw by blanking on his name. He's like one of the biggest contributors of Laravel. Shoot,
there are many.
Oh, he's like the second biggest contributor besides Taylor and Muhammad.
Graham Campbell?
Joseph, shoot, come on. Nothing? Okay.
Oh, Silver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so
bad
with
right a
now.
B?
Joseph, like Silber or Silber or something. Yeah, shoot.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, Joseph. But... So yeah, so him.
Saw this tweet from Joseph.
Did you see that tweet about the view object?
I did not.
Okay, so here's his tweet. I thought it was pretty sweet, actually. So his tweet was like, I'm just going
to
look it up super quick. Joseph Silber tweeted about view objects using... All right, so I guess the application is when you return a view, then and you have a with statement or something, right?
Sure, like you do.
Right. Okay. So you have a with statement and like you might have a view object, which is kind of what we're talking about. Like a little object that exposes a couple data properties that your view is going to use, and you don't want to pass through a bunch of raw data to your view or something like that, right?
Sure.
Okay. So his like fire tweet is using PHP anonymous classes for that view object. Yeah, so I'm thinking right now, and I'm already not liking what I'm thinking because you need multiple of them, and I don't like this. What if you just did, in your controller, for the view that you're showing, what if you did a simple little, like, collect? All right, you JSON decode your thing, right?
Yeah.
You JSON decode the GitHub response, throw it in a collection, you map over it, and basically you come out with an array that has two keys. It has ID and slug. And then you pass that array to the view in a variable called repos. And then in your view, you cycle through that. And then you call to a separate endpoint called store repo when they hit save on the repo. And in the request to that endpoint, you pass in the ID of that repo. And then in the controller, when you receive that, you're just working in the Eloquent class where you just say you have a little procedure that grabs the JSON, and then you have GitHub repo, which is a Eloquent class or just repo that says repo :: from JSON, and you just pass in the JSON and it puts it into the properties it needs to. It fills it
from
up
from the request.
From a request. What do you mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the request of the like in the controller when they hit track or whatever.
Yes. The ID, well, no. No. The ID would come in from the request, and then you would just call on GitHub to get the stuff you want for that ID. You know? Isn't there like an endpoint that you can just get all the data?
Why am I not going to hit GitHub again? I already hit GitHub.
So all you need is the ID and the slug. That's it.
That's all I need.
Okay, then yeah, pass it into the endpoint for store. Boom, done.
Sure.
Call it a day.
I would definitely like to call it a day. I think that's fine. I think that's cool. And so then we just basically are doing regular old controller request only into this thing.
Yep.
Into repo :: from JSON.
Yep.
It was basically like
you don't need
repo
from JSON
colon
anymore.
From JSON request only.
Doesn't have to be from JSON.
Oh, yeah,
JSON.
I guess I don't need from JSON.
Just be like, repo, yeah. :, create, request only ID, comma, slug.
Or, yeah. Hey, what do you think about, this whole, I've seen people do this, and I know Adam had an opinion about this, and I forget what it was. What do you think about the something :, from request?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh. Like, what do you think about hiding that in the model?
Yeah, I guess in general...
It seems wrong to me.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think of the cases where I would want to do something like that. Because I've definitely wanted to. Okay, here's one. When you,
well, this is a case where I would want to, right?
This is a case where you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, just say repo :, from request, and I know what is going to be in that request.
But why don't you just have repo :, create, request only, ID, comma, slug?
Either one's fine.
No, one is the right way. The other is wrong.
right. Carry on.
Like when you create a profile or something and you want to, and part of the request is an image file and you want to upload the image, you may want to say profile from request. And then inside of that, maybe pull that image
out
and upload it or
something.
Yeah. I don't know. That even that seems, but yeah, I would think that's a place that it would be more helpful, you know, because I definitely know like places, times where I've had to do things, and as a newbie, I would create my own. I would override the create method on a class. Mm-hmm. The stat, you know, I'd create like static create.
Yeah.
I would accept in a request, and then I would do my thing, and I was like, yeah. Oh, this is great, making my controller super slim. That was my thought process at the time.
Yeah. I think I might be having a little bit of a reactionary thing right now because I've just been in an app where everything happened in the controllers for a long time.
Okay.
And so I'm having like a reaction where I want to move things out of controllers. But yeah, and this app, like everyone was really scared to put methods on models.
Okay.
And so I'm reacting and saying, let's put all the methods on the models. But yes, I agree that that is not the right thing to do at all times. What would you call this topic if you were to come up with a name for this episode?
I don't know. What are we talking about? We're talking about, I mean, we're pretty much talking about,
we're talking
like,
about DTOs, I guess.
We're kind of talking about DTOs. Explain to me what the difference between a value object and a DTO is. Is a value object the class that has like all the enum, like, class constants, is that a value object?
Maybe. Who cares? It doesn't matter. This is a DTO, right? It's taking data and transferring it to this other place.
DTO. Okay.
Anyway, who cares? It's a popo.
It's a pope. Yep.
It's a popo. And it's a popo that exists because I wanted to add a method to a data store. And you're saying rather than creating a popo, so that you can add a method to this data store, add a method to the thing that expects this data, and then just treat the data as data instead of as a named object.
Yeah.
Cool. I like your advice. I think you're probably right. Interesting.
I mean, the benefit here is you don't have an it's a class that you don't need, you know? Like, that's
right.
Always the thing. I don't know.
But
go ahead.
This is funny because you're Mr. like, I'm just looking for more opportunities.
I know, right.
Things.
And popos are great opportunities to have well-named,
and it's
nice little.
Yeah. And it's like
boats.
So I have this thing, which is like a structure. So this is the thing that's going to get out of hand, right? There are going to be a million and one places in this application where I have some data that pertains to a GitHub repo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be something like ID and name, or ID and the URL of a webhook, or the ID of a webhook,
right.
Or, you know, there's like all of these things where it's like a GitHub repo ID, maybe a GitHub user auth token. Yeah, there's going to be like a couple of little bits of GitHub data in an array that are needed for something, right? Because,
but
like,
at that point, won't you have the Eloquent model that will have, like, won't you have established that this person has chosen that repository? Like, the only time that the person hasn't chosen the repository and persisted in your database is when they're selecting the repository, right?
Right, but there's so much other stuff that's going to happen in this app besides just repositories, right? Or like there's going to be like relationships between repositories. Like, for example,
right,
say
like
I have a webhook.
Right, like they happen around the... Okay, you have a webhook.
Say I have a webhook and it receives push events and pull request events, right? So say a pull request hits my webhook that relates to my repository, but it also includes like, you know, some auth key that I need to be able to pull from this private repo,
right,
which I'm going to need to do for my CI app, right?
Yeah.
So like all there's all of these times where like data is coming in from the API that pertains to this repository, and like I'm going to have to pass it around in some sort of an array. And I feel nervous that I'm going to have a ton of unnamed arrays floating around my app that are all GitHub ID and something else.
So, okay. All right, here's my
And maybe that means I just need to push that way lower level.
If you had a class
immediately
that you constructed where it had two parameters, one called ID and one called slug. And it stored them as properties on the class and it accepted nothing else and did nothing else. Right? That would be a class you could have. And then if you had a webhook response, you know, an incoming webhook request, here's my beef. Here's where I'm coming from. I'm working in an app where there were all these request objects and they were just Eloquent Fluent. They extended Eloquent's Fluent class. And so basically they just put all this data, the class could accept as much data as it wanted. So it was like, all right, great. Now I have this class that just is loaded with whatever data, you know, like who knows what data is in it. They would put some like sanitization in the constructor of the class to keep the data like a certain way, but it wasn't like validation. There were no gates, you know, it was just like, there's these request objects everywhere and they're well named. They're these like, and this is kind of the same idea that they wanted is like, I want an object that I get, I have a place to put the data. So it's not just all these arrays, these, you know, these like primitive, you know, bare, not named things that could be anything. So they created these classes and they felt better about it. And the only thing it bought them was being able to type hint them in methods and stuff. And name them. But they've named them and then they can put anything in them. And now nobody has faith in them and you don't know what's in them ever. And it's no good. So if you
why are people putting other things into them?
Well, because let's say that you so GitHub decides to add a extra field to the response and whatever. I mean, or another developer decides to use it because it does qualify as a webhook response, but they want an extra piece of data in there, so they add it into the class so it has an extra piece of data. I don't know. But in our case, it's this problem of microservicing where we're taking like raw responses, I think, and we're taking like JSON responses and we're putting them into these objects and we're not like filtering out exactly what properties exist on it. So like
if a
developer on another service like pops in an extra response thing, then it just gets in, it sneaks its way into your object, you know? I don't know.
And
you look at the object and you don't know what data it holds exactly. That's another thing is like just looking at the class itself. It's helpful to see those things. So what I did, my approach on the project was like, screw all of these objects. I'm not doing any of it because I'm just going to embrace the changing nature of these things. And I put up walls in different places, but I don't know. I took out all the names and all the DTOs. So that's my reaction. That's where I'm coming from is but I can see it being fine. Like if you just want the extra name, if you want the place that you can hold the things, I think I get that. And I think that even kind of makes sense. You could have a folder for it. It could be nice and tiny little objects that take in a finite amount of data and store them as properties. I don't know. That was kind of a rant on the matter.
Yeah.
I got fired up.
Yeah, no, I wanted to push back on you. And then I feel like now I still probably generally agree with you and I'm probably going to end up with a bunch of anonymous arrays, but I'm trying to come up with a contingency plan for if I hate that.
Right. If you hate that, what's wrong with creating those classes that I was talking about? Does that satisfy your desires or do you want something more?
It helps me a little. It helps me a little bit. Just a little bit, you know? A wee bit. And the main thing... Yeah, I think that's fine.
No. Express yourself, Daniel. What do you want?
The main thing is that I love eloquence so much, and so I want to give these objects powers.
Okay.
And I want to potentially say when I get the user, which I will every time, mm-hmm. right? So say when I get the user, I think it would be really cool to be able to hydrate a little GitHub user object, right? That has like their GitHub user ID and blah, 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 blah. And then when, say, when I, something comes into my webhook that is a repo and it has a user ID in the owner field, it'd be really sweet to be able to like say like, oh, this user is this other user, but all this is in memory. So I don't think I'm going to do this, but it would be so cool right. to give these little API totally, response objects superpowers.
Totally get it. Wait, explain to me what the superpowers are again. What was the superpower?
Relationships, basically. Relationships and where statements.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So, right. When you're recreating Eloquent for... And that... Okay. That,
when so you're recreating Eloquent, just stop.
Just stop. Yeah. No, I've been down that road of kind of like wanting relationships with these dummy objects or dumb objects.
But here's the thing. I wanted to lie to myself and pretend that there were better reasons to do what I was doing than that I wanted to recreate Eloquent as an API layer, right?
Yep.
And maybe... You know, maybe that's okay. Maybe
think,
it's fine to
I
lie
think
to yourself sometimes.
There's a little part of all of us that just, you know, I mean, yeah. Reading those books, when you read the books and they're all and there's all this emphasis on all this OO stuff and all the examples aren't like tied to databases or anything like that. You're reading them and you're like, oh, like I want, I like, how could I fit that into the way I do things? Like, where's that place in Laravel? And I don't know. The sad reality is that you can get so far. And it can work so well using Eloquent.
But in the end,
and just like,
it doesn't even matter.
But in the end, it doesn't even matter. Nice.
Oh, man. So, but yeah. So can you imagine how cute it would be, though, to have like relationships between your API response objects that were living in memory?
Yeah. So explain me one of the relationships.
So say I've got a user object, right?
Uh-huh. A GitHub user
and
object.
Then, yeah, so like imagine this flow, right? I get a user, and then I look up the repos for that user, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got those in memory. And so I could do like user repos and get the repos, or I could do repos user and get the user. And I could even do something where like if I hadn't run that API request yet, like it would then run it and go retrieve that data for me.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then with caching or whatever, I could theoretically cache that.
Yeah. So, right. What is to stop you from... I mean, that sounds... Okay, so break me out of this box, the, like, service object box, where you'd have, like... Or GitHub uh-huh. Gateway. Gateway and service. Uh-huh. GitHub Gateway service.
Yeah, GitHub Gateways as a service, correct?
So you have your GitHub Gateway... And you have a method mm-hmm. called get webhooks for user ID.
I have a method called what for user ID?
Get webhooks for user ID. Or get
okay.
get repositories by user ID or something, you know?
Sure.
Pass in a user ID. That class is the class that contacts the GitHub repository and spits out stuff.
Sure.
Right. Instead of this object... Instead of these sort of like they're these like clean, nice, encapsulated DTO type objects, but they still have to know how to like get more data, you know, and like store more data, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that part's the part that gives me the heebie-jeebies is like I can be down with the little boats, the little nice little, you know, they're just floating around, the little objects that are real encapsulated mm-hmm. and they just take some data and they give you a name and they give you an object and you can type hint stuff if you want. And yep. that's that. But when you get into the yep. realm of like doing other things, I start to think like, oh, well, there's all these other places that are just sort of meant to do those things or maybe are better yep. places to do those things or at least more accessible for somebody sure. to come in and go, oh, here's the one class where he makes all the API calls to GitHub and all it does is give you methods that like get the stuff you need to get, you know, and that's where he does that. rather than like, oh, well, he gets this in this class and then this gets that other class and this can store a bunch of these classes. I don't know.
Well, I think there would still be a single class that's actually making all the API calls.
Okay, gotcha. But they would just...
Right.
But
there's
that,
still like...
Right.
At the bottom of every SDK, right, is like...
That thing.
API client, get API client post.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, you build like authenticate with OAuth and like, you know, like get a certain resource for a certain user based on this token or, you know, whatever.
Totally.
Whatever you need to do. So like you build all of that on top of the like client get client post, right?
Yep.
And so I would build all of those resource, like get an individual resource based on input into that same client file, right? So I would build like repos by user into a client into that client file as well, right?
Right, right.
But then when say when I have this user DTO, what's to stop me from just adding a repos method to it?
Yeah,
that calls the client repos by user and passes in the user's ID.
So you want to create an SDK.
It's a convenience method. Maybe that's what I want.
That's what
probably
you want.
I mean, here's what I think is the issue, is that I want to use GitHub so much in this app. You know what I'm saying?
Is there a Laravel GitHub SDA that does all this and gives you like an object called user?
There are a couple Laravel GitHub SDKs and I hate them all. I don't like any of them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you need... name an SDK, if you can, that returns an object but you can like access properties of it like intelligently.
I can't.
I swear there are. I'm sure there's like a bunch. I feel like I've used them. What are
simple
the good
XML.
What about like
simple XML does it?
What? Did you say simple XML?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I know I've used them. Like what about like MailChimp's SDK or something like that? I don't know.
I've never used MailChimp.
People SDK. Who get it, like an SDK that like gets nice PHP code stuff. I don't know. But maybe that's what you want. You want to create an SDK that gives you objects that can access other objects, and if they don't have them, they can get them from an endpoint, and you can use that.
Well, this is my constant struggle. I don't want to create an SDK. What I want to create is a CI app, but I want to have an SDK in my back pocket with which to create this CI app, and the SDK I want doesn't exist as far as I can tell. I've looked at three PHP GitHub SDKs.
If we're talking real talk, if we're just going real talk, like at this point,
I would expect nothing less.
I know, I know you know the thing, but I think
that this is a bad idea.
Right? I think, yeah, the way to like do this is to create it, you know, Yagni. Yagni. Like, start like
Yagni.
Just do your plain old arrays with some plain old eloquent objects. You got a couple controllers in there, you got some views. And you're up and running.
You are up and running. And then one day you build a GitHub API SDK.
Yep.
Maybe. One day.
One day.
One day.
So what are we going to name this? What did we talk about? This was kind of like a pair programming session or like... It was kind of like, I don't know.
I think we should just call this getting technical. Because it's been a while since we like said code
right
on the podcast.
Could we just say talking
editors,
code?
We talked about philosophy. Yeah, talking code again.
Have we? Yeah, okay. Talking code again.
How long has
it
been
since let's do it.
Code.
Talking code again. I dig.
How long has it been? We have feeling. Look at this. Microservices, I think we talked some code there. But really, feature toggles is when we last really talked code.
Feature togs.
And then it was Laravel certification program, microservices, feelings, editors, PHP unit wishlist, and then philosophy. Mm. We've been like deep in the soft skills, and this one is like, we say colon so many times in this episode. You wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
So I think we call this one talking code again.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
I agree.
I dig, yeah.
Did you like how I just agreed with myself?
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
I think we call this talking code again.
I think we should do this.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with me.
That's the problem with headphones. You hear yourself in your own ears, and then you make a good point, and you just want to agree.
Wow.
But yeah, we should do Philosophy 2.0 sometime soon, though.
Yeah, we should. I was watching some more philosophy crash course vids and came across like something that I forgot right now, but it was like a really good framework of decision making, like classifying different types of decisions, objects, I think. And I was like, holy crap, this is programming. Like, this is...
Lord, I want to talk about Heidegger.
I don't know that stuff. Heidegger and what?
Okay, well...
Heidegger and what?
Heidegger, in Heidegger's book Being and Time, he talks about what he calls modes of being, and that something can either... Well, I don't want to go into it right now, I think it translates really well into the roles of different objects in object-oriented software.
What are the modes of being? I've heard that before. Maybe
this is not the philosophy episode. This is not the philosophy episode,
Caleb.
Just
name the modes.
Okay, so it's like being like a rock is just being. You're being there and you're being a rock.
Okay.
Then there's like being, the translations are hard because it's written in German, but like ready to hand or ready at hand is a common translation of it, which means like being there available to be used.
Okay.
To do something. And then there is sign, which is like being aware. And Dasein is like the being that contemplates its own existence.
I think I'm seeing the parallels here.
Right, and so Dasein, like a human, can elevate a rock to the level of a hammer by hitting a nail with it.
Oh, wow.
So those are the three modes of being interacting.
Yeah, stop point, there, right? So we don't talk.
Stop there.
We don't do any good talking about it.
Next time on Philosophy 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also want to talk terminals. I switched to Hyper.
Switch to Hyper.
And maybe
I switched to the VS Code as my terminal.
Dude, wait. Say that again, sorry. I was just waiting for my turn
to VS
talk.
Code. VS Code as my terminal.
Yeah.
I don't use a separate terminal anymore.
You got the snippet, the focus toggle snippet.
I got that. And I just don't, like, there's no need for me to open a separate application to do terminal stuff.
Seriously, I know. It's crazy. It is crazy. So I used Hyper and I finally got, I actually got a sweet plugin. It's called Snazzy or whatever. It's like a Z Shell plugin. I finally understand Z Shell. Yep. That's the story.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I understand Z Shell. I understand ZSH. I get it. I get.
You got Antigen?
I don't need Antigen.
You're not doing Antigen.
Oh my ZSH just has the plugins folder that's like got everything I need. And the one plugin that it didn't have, I just did brew install and then I just added it to. Because Hyper has NPM stuff. When you require a plugin, it just installs it with NPM require. It's crazy.
What?
It's sick.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you can write CSS for it, right?
I already did that. Yeah, yeah. Well, I tried to.
It's
already a dark place to go. I tried to... Yeah, I was like, whatever. I wanted to make the line... You can't set the line height in Hyper. How ridiculous is that? I'm like, no, this is not happening. So I tried making the CSS, like editing the CSS to do it, and it got really crazy, and it's super hard because I can do it, but then I can't get the blinky terminal thing to match the line, so it looks all wacky. So,
oh man,
yeah,
this is
gonna
be a great Tailwind project.
Oh, there's so many things we should talk about.
How do we only have one? Well, this is the problem, Caleb, is when we don't put on an episode for 3 weeks.
Exactly. We should just
things build up.
We
should just do this episode every week, like we do, like we say that we do in the intro.
Yeah, that's one solution. Yep.
That is a solution. Then there's like the other thing where it's like we could just record episode after episode after episode.
Right. Stack them up. A part of me always hates that. It always feels like dishonest, but I get it and I accept it. But I just feel like,
you know what's not dishonest? If we record 4 episodes back to back and then release 4 episodes back to back.
Exactly. That's what we need
like,
to do.
In a day, we're like, hey, guess what? Here's 4 episodes.
Do you want to cut right now and do a new episode right now and release 2 at the same time?
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.